was tonight's intermission. We thank you for attending. That intermission was brought to you by Atlas Design Services, provider of the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show webpage at www.cincinnatlas.com.
So did you get to the point of the story? The point of the story was Tommy Dorsey or one of his people were threatened. Okay.
In order for Frank to get out of the contract with the orchestra.
What this was leading up to, as Frank went through the years, popular music changed, to say the least. He predated rock and roll. What did Frank think about when, you know, when guys who couldn't really sing, like Little Richard, Buddy Holly,
Richard could sing.
Chuck Berry, Jerry Lee Lewis, these guys couldn't really sing compared to Frank Sinatra. What did Frank think when guys that, you know, weren't nearly his capability as a singer were dominating the pop charts?
Well, he had some pretty strong feelings about the Beatles, didn't he?
That's why I'm asking these cats.
Okay.
Well, I'll have to disagree about Jerry Lee Lewis. He did some country records where he really proved he could sing.
Okay. You know, Ray Davies said, I can sing better than Frank Sinatra.
Well,
he could say, I could sing You Really Got Me better than Frank Sinatra. It's what he changed it to later.
I'm surprised Ray Davies isn't dead.
Why would he be dead?
Because Frank would have him killed if he said that.
No, but what did Frank think? When now he's looking up, all of a sudden Elvis and Jerry Lee Lewis and Little Richard and Carl Perkins and Fats Domino and these guys are all over the charts. And Frank and Bing and his crowd, or the World War II crowd, is no longer dominating. What's going on? How did Frank maintain and persevere?
Well, it was especially tough because, of course, part of the thing you have to go through when you're a big recording star is you have to go out and do, like, publicity shots, because there's famous photos of Frank and Elvis and Frank hanging out with all those other cats. But he was just hating life at that point because his career was suffering and, like, he was having, a voice problem.
About, you know, 55, 56 in there?
Yeah, his records weren't selling even if he was at top voice. So I don't think he was real happy then.
And how long did his down period last then?
Really, until the old Blue Eyes Is Back album, what was that? That was that was after the main event, wasn't it?
No, that was before the main event.
Was it?
Yeah.
Well, he had that period. And he had his nice career, and then he had the voice problems, and rock and roll kind of took over for a little bit. When did he get re-energized and reinvigorated as the leader of Humphrey Bogart's old Rat Pack? When did the Rat Pack start? Bogart had like three or four guys, and they called themselves the Rat Pack. Sinatra was, they kind of latched onto Bogart. Bogart quit. All of his buddies died, and they hated Sinatra because Sinatra was just a young punk. So then Sinatra brought in his own flunkies. When did the Rat Pack of Joey Bishop and Sammy and Dean Martin and Frank and, you know, Joey Heatherton being the brassiest broad at the table, when did that Rat Pack that we know and love, when did that thing get going?
I'm saying it's the onset of Las Vegas as the entertainment capital of the world.
Like mid-60s?
Yeah.
Earlier than that,
yes,
maybe?
Yes, very early on. I've got an album in my hand as we speak called Sinatra. Oop, I just dropped it. It's called Sinatra Swings, and I think this was one of his comeback albums. I think there was one before this, but this was at least one of them. And there's a song on it.
What year is this?
Granada, which is number 6, in case you're wondering.
If you're playing along at home, that's number 6.
Granada would be number 6.
So we're going to play this song now, right?
Yeah.
And?
That was one of his comeback albums. I think it was the second one. There was one before it, but this was one of the big comeback Screw You, You Don't Like Me, I'm Still Here albums.
WAIF Cincinnati will be back talking about the Rat Pack with Dookie Cocktails and Scotty B on the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
Granada, I'm falling under your spell. And if you could speak, what a fascinating tale you would tell. Of an age the world has long forgotten. Of an age that that weaves the silent magic in Grenada today. The dawn in the sky greets the day with a sigh for Grenada. For she can remember the splendor that once was Grenada. It still can be found in the hills all around as I wander along. Entranced by the beauty before me, entranced by a land full of flowers and song. When day is done and the sun starts to set in Grenada, I envy the blush of the snow-clad Sierra Nevada. Soon it will welcome the stars while a thousand guitars play a soft habanero. Then moonlit Grenada will live again the glory of yesterday. Romantic, hey Grenada.
Cha-cha-cha. Cha-cha-cha, the Chris and Rob late night talk show, where I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And the phone number is 749-1444. If you'd like to get in on this action, tonight is our Frank Sinatra tribute show that we've been planning for quite a long time. How long have we been planning this show, Rob?
I mean,
this one's been in the notebook. It's been in the file folder on the desk. This one's been laying around for quite a while. We've been meaning to get to the Frank Sinatra tribute here for quite a while. And as experts and guests and question takers and reflecting on Frank Sinatra tonight, we have Dookie Cocktails.
Hey, how you doing? I'm your old pal, Dookie Cocktails. This is Cocktails with Duke with you.
And we also have little Scotty B, otherwise known as Scott Barlow. He's most famous for having been a movie critic here at the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
Let's hope his luck changes soon.
Yeah. Yo, what's up?
All right, hey, lads. Okay, now, what was the Rat Pack? Who was it? Where'd they hang out? Why do we still remember them 30, 40 years later?
Who were they?
Yeah, I'm trying to be like Brian Lamb here and start with the basic questions for those who aren't in the know. Who? Give me the Rat Pack lineup and where they play ball.
With Sinatra, Dean Martin, Sammy Davis, Joey Bishop, and who was the English guy?
Peter Lawford.
Don't forget Liza Minnelli.
She was kind of a mascot, as well as Shirley MacLaine was kind of a mascot, too.
But Shirley didn't have sexual feelings for any of them. That was why she could handle
Excuse me.
Not for Frank, she didn't.
Shirley did sleep with Frank, and then she wrote a book about it, and Frank's quote was, and I quote, "Some broads will do anything for a buck."
Maybe she seduced and used Frank.
Maybe she did.
Is that beyond the realm of possibility?
Maybe.
She was hot. I mean, she's a psycho. Now, we just think of Shirley MacLaine now as being a psycho. But she was hot back then.
Yeah, I saw her in The Apartment recently.
Was she hot?
Yeah, she was an elevator operator, and she was hot.
She was hot.
She was also in a Jerry Lewis Dean Martin movie called Artisan Models, and she was hot.
Oh, she was wearing a little Mouseketeer outfit. And how old was Frank and Dean and these characters in, say, 66, the height of the Rat Pack swing era? These weren't spring chickens. These weren't young studs. I mean, these guys are in their mid-40s, maybe?
Early 40s. Yeah. Mid-40s.
And what was Shirley?
She was probably in her early to mid-20s.
Now, what is more valuable? Early to mid-20 Poontang or 45-year-old Peter?
Oh, well, you know, I've only tried one, so...
I'm just saying. I'm just saying it's not beyond the realm that Shirley maybe broke Frank's heart.
I don't think he had his heart broken by Shirley.
I don't think
McLean.
Either. I mean, maybe she just wanted to, you know, big deal.
I think his heart was broken when she wrote the book. That's when he said, some broads will do anything for a buck. That was the quote. Because she made a lot of quotes, a lot of quote-unquote innuendo.
Well, she was nuts by then. I mean, after whenever she decided she used to be a...
Napoleon.
Or whatever,
yeah.
She was, you know, she's nuts. The Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, paying tribute and homage to Frank Sinatra, if you'd like to get in on this. The phone number is 749-1444. We'll be right back. We're going to take a walk down the Street of Dreams.
Love laughs at a king. Kings don't mean a thing on the Street of Dreams. Dreams broken in two can be made like new on the Street of Dreams. Gold, silver, and gold, all you can hold in the moonbeams. Poor, no one is poor, long as love is sure on the Street of Dreams. Love laughs at a king. Kings don't mean one thing on the Street of Dreams. Dreams broken in two can be made like new on the Street of Dreams. Gold, silver, and gold, all you can hold is in those moonbeams. Poor, nobody's poor, long as love is sure on the Street of Dreams. Love laughs at a king. Kings don't mean one thing on the Street of Dreams. Dreams broken in two can be made like new on the Street of Dreams. Gold, silver, and gold, all you can hold is in a moon. Long as love is sure on the Street of Dreams. Poor, nobody's poor, long as love is sure on the Street of Dreams.
The Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, 749-1444, talking about Sinatra. Talk a little bit, briefly, before we get back into the Rat Pack, about the young Frank's voice, the 1942 Frank's voice, the 4F, would love to serve his country but can't because he's deaf in one ear Frank's voice, versus the Frank's voice of his later 70s, My Way, New York voice.
How did Mrs. Robinson.
How did the voice age? Did it change, or did it mellow like a fine Louis XIII brandy?
And why did he start doing covers of Simon and Garfunkel songs?
Answer all 12 of those questions at now. Now, if you will, please.
Well, the early Frank was obviously the crooner. When you're first starting, you have to prove yourself like that. That you can do all those notes, and whether it was the voice being screwed up or whatever, or hey, it's easier to just screw around with lyrics if you can still sell a million albums, why not just screw around with Mrs. Robinson or whatever? Why not just play around with it and William Shatner speak it, if you wanted to do that?
Now, the Rat Pack, we established who they were. We established where they hung out. What did they do, though? I mean, you don't become famous just for your buddies hanging out in a bar, do you? I mean, what did they do? How did they how did they get a reputation? How did their how did this legend of the Rat Pack spring up? I mean, just for hanging out in a bar, you don't become, you know, legendary. What happened?
I don't think it matters what they actually did. It's what we thought they did. We thought they were scoring at will. We thought they were drinking till whenever the hell they wanted to stop. We thought they were going back to the room and trashing if they felt like it. We thought they were eating meatball hoagies at 4 a.m. off a hooker's chest if they wanted that, and then snorting coke off her ass. We thought our dream as men is what we thought they were doing, and that's what matters. I have no idea. Maybe they were just watching Hogan's Heroes reruns back in the hotel room. Who the hell knows?
So we're just projecting. They're like a blank canvas, and we can project onto them whatever we want.
Well, I think to a certain extent that they did do some wild things, but I agree with Duke in the fact that, you know, just like any rock band that you watch, you want to think that they do some wild things backstage. They do some crazy things that every guy wants to do.
Here comes a Van Halen Brown M&M reference.
Well, Aerosmith did. Van Halen did, but mostly David Lee Roth did. But Aerosmith did, right? Even the Eagles partied. I mean, the Eagles used to throw televisions out.
They were all big cocaine.
Glenn Frey was saying he used to pour his beer in the back of a hotel room TV just to watch the pretty colors. I don't know. This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, 749-1444. So did Frank Sinatra and Peter Lawford throw TVs out their hotel rooms?
They probably threw the actual stars of the programs they didn't like out the hotel window.
Hello, Richard. You're on with the Chris and Rob Show.
You guys are nuts.
And?
I just wanted to say that, really.
Okay.
How you doing?
Fabulous. How are you doing, Richard?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you doing?
What are your fondest memories or anecdotes or thoughts on Frank Sinatra?
Well, the fact that everybody keeps thinking he's dead is one of my favorite things about him.
Uh-huh. He's not. In fact, he's still going strong. He's still drinking Jägermeister for breakfast every morning.
Not only that, but I understand he talks to Sammy Davis every morning.
How do you mean? Sammy Davis has been passed away for years.
Oh, that's what I mean. He talks to him every morning. They commune. They're like one.
He eats like 14 Eskimo pies a day, though, too. Something that came out last week.
That's a rumor.
They're like one.
That's a vicious. He just eats one Eskimo pie a day?
No, he and Sammy Davis are like one. The Eskimo pie.
One Eskimo pie, one Norwegian pie, one American Indian pie. He's got them all.
And he keeps having his daughter come over and lecturing her on how she could have been a big star if it hadn't been for that damn song, Boots Are Made for Walking.
Could be. I don't know what Frank's up to. Anything
what's
else?
Your fondest, what's your fondest memory of Frank?
My fondest? Or I think Dookie Cocktails or Scotty B should be taking this one.
Now, have you seen that new special that's on,
No one's seen that because TV Land does not exist. It's a figment of your imagination.
I saw it. No, I saw it, dude, in Columbus. It's
I don't
great.
Even know what TV special you're talking about.
It's the never-before-viewed, Rat Pack thing. It's incredible. Frank is out of his mind. He's drunk out of his mind. It's perfect. You haven't seen it yet?
No, I haven't even heard about it. It's legendary, huh?
It is. It's incredible.
How come
they start messing with Sammy and it's all gets beautiful.
Well, how come it hasn't been on
Dino,
TV before?
It's incredible.
Richard, have you been drinking tonight?
No, I've been shooting heroin.
So how come this thing hasn't been on TV before then?
Well, it's because they were all hammered and loaded and they didn't want to air it, you know, back in the day. But now it's okay because the drugs and the alcohol abuse and everything else is a lot worse now.
And it's socially acceptable now, too.
That's true. Where's Bob Burns, by the way?
That was earlier in tonight's program.
He was incredible.
Okay.
You know, he has an unreleased TV special coming out.
Bob Burns does?
Yes.
What's it called?
It's called My Life as a UPS Man in Drag.
Thanks for your call, Richard.
Thank you very much.
This is the part in the program where we sing a drunk song. Drunk songs are usually done in small bars and bistros, the wee hours of the morning. usually talked or sung by a fellow who's got problems. Like his broad flew the coop. With another guy and all the bread. So if you will, assume the position of a bartender, it's the way these guys behave. It's 2:45. There's no one in the place except you and me. Set 'em up, Joe. I got a little story I think you should know. We're drinking, my friend, to the end of a brief episode. Make it one for my baby and another one for the road. I know the routine. Put another quarter in the machine. I feel kind of bad. Can't you make the music easy and sad? I could tell you a lot, but it's not in a gentleman's code. Just make it one for my baby and one more for the road. You'd never know it, but buddy, I'm a kind of poet, and I got a lot of things I'd like to say. And if I'm gloomy, please listen to me till it's talked away. Well, that's how it goes. And Joe, I know you're getting anxious to close. Anyway, thanks for the cheer. I hope you didn't mind my band in your ear. But this torch that I found, it's gotta be drowned, or it's gonna explode. Make it one for my baby and another for the road. The lawn is damn long. It's so long.
Thank you, the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show with Frank Sinatra and Dookie Cocktails and Scott Barlow, a little Scotty B, the movie critic, are here in the studio with us tonight. 749-1444 is the phone number, 749-1444. We're playing tribute to Frank Sinatra. Never, you guys think you'll like Frank forever? This is something you'll take with you all the way from your youth up to your when you're Frank's age?
Definitely.
I have to agree, once you get into the into the songs and realize some of the intricacies of it. And it's one of those things that you can listen to over and over again and enjoy every time.
If someone's listening tonight and they're not real familiar with Frank's work, but they've enjoyed some of the stuff we've played tonight, where's a good place for a neophyte Sinatra maniac? What's a good record for them to get?
Well, you, who have been accused of hating Frank Sinatra, were advised to buy the reprise 4-disc box set, which I think still sells pretty cheap in the land of box sets. I don't know what they go for nowadays. I think you can get that one for like $30, though. And that's got just...
4 discs, 4 CDs, reprise.
You would say that the stuff that Frank Sinatra recorded for the reprise record label was probably some of the best jazz music of his career.
Well, I think it's yeah, and it's also a good sampling of there's some ballads on there and some saloon songs and there's some live stuff and I don't know. What do you think there, Scotty B?
I'd say if you never bought anything before and you're looking to buy something, buy either Ring-a-Ding-Ding or Come Dance With Me.
Well, those are both on the reprise record label.
Yeah, but, you know, just get the original record. Both of them swing so hard it hurts.
What's your favorite Frank Sinatra record? If you would like to tell our panel of experts, which is what you guys are starting to sound like over there, our panel of drunken experts, 749-1444 is the phone number. And why do you like drinking along with Frank Sinatra so much? I mean, some people put on the Gap Band when they drink. Other people put on Aerosmith when they drink. But you guys put on Frank Sinatra records when you drink.
Oh, don't think there isn't a little Gap Band played now and again.
Okay. Well, my question is, why is Frank Sinatra so much fun to drink to?
Well, first of all, if I'm drinking, the first album I put on is, yes, Tales from Topographic Oceans.
And how's that one song go, the UFO song?
Did you see the UFO that landed in my yard last night from the fifth dimension? It's a great song.
And then after that, you hit the Frank Sinatra collection, right?
Don't kill the whale. Meow, 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 meow.
How'd that Republica song go that came out last year?
Baby, I'm ready to go. Oh, I'm ready to go.
749-1444 is the phone number.
Is this what that radio consultant calls inside radio?
No, he's singing some of his favorite songs.
Sing your hey, if you're such a big shot singer here, Mr. Scott Barlow, the movie critic, sing the lyrics from your favorite Frank Sinatra song.
Wait, let me do my favorite Third Eye Blind song first. How's it gonna be? How's it gonna be? I just wanted to do that first. I'm sorry. Sinatra?
Yeah, Sinatra.
Let me think.
Or just what lyric really hits home with you? Because Frank, you know, he didn't write a lot of his songs, but he had some damn great, the best songwriters of the time.
Coo-coo-ca-choo, Mrs. Robinson.
Writing the lyrics for him. What are some of the lyrics that really stick out, that really go, oh, yeah.
With Frank, it's all about intonation, isn't it?
Well, see, that's what's so great about Frank. The point is that they would write the songs for him, and then he would, quote-unquote, fall into the pocket.
Yeah.
That's what he says, and that's what, I'm not sure if he ever said that, but that's what I heard Harry Connick Jr. say. It's called falling into the pocket, where you take the lyrics, but you play around with them enough, but you still fall onto the beat of the song and mess around with them enough, and it still sounds cool.
I think the lyric, "We're drinking, my friend, to the end of a brief episode," could just sound horrible if sung by someone else. But I think he takes care of business when he sings it.
What song is that from? What album?
That's from the one you just played there, Chris, if you hadn't been out, mm-hmm. Whatever you were doing. You would have heard that he sang, "We're drinking, my friend, to the end of a brief episode," to make it one for my baby and one for the road.
Well, were any of the Rat Pack movies worthwhile? I mean, we briefly mentioned the Robin Hood, the Ocean's 11. Are those actually good movies? Do you have to watch them kind of like tongue-in-cheek? Can you actually enjoy them as fine film?
Sober?
No.
No.
No. They're not very good?
All right, they're really bad movies, but if you enjoy the Rat Pack mystique, if you enjoy watching these guys perform, then you'll like the movies.
You have to enjoy the fact of how much fun they're having as they're making it to enjoy it yourself.
So I don't think you're saying that this movie, these movies are good like Apocalypse Now, but they're good like Rock and Roll High School.
They're better than Rock and Roll High School. They're much, much better.
I don't know, when PJ Soul says, "I'm a teenage lobotomy," that's movie magic. That's movie magic.
The Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, the phone number is 749-1444.
Drinking again and thinking of when you loved me. I'm having a few and wishing that you were here. Making the rounds, accepting a round from strangers. Being a fool, just hoping that you'll appear. Sure, I can borrow a smoke, maybe tell some joker bad joke. But nobody laughs, they don't laugh at a broken heart. Oh yeah, I'm drinking again. It's always the same, that same old story. After the kicks, there's little old mixed up me. Trying to lose a dream that used to be. Look at me, I'm drinking again, thinking all over town. Yeah, I'm drinking again.
And when Sinatra drinks, he doesn't mess around. Chris and Rob, Late Night Talk Show, 749-1444. And we are accepting calls on this evening's program, a program that's been in waiting for quite a while. We've been working on this one for a while, the Frank Sinatra Tribute Show, with a couple of guests we've been trying to book here for quite a while. But working the schedules out to get them both here together has been, difficult. These guys are all over the world. Last week, little Scotty B was in Las Vegas and Hollywood before that, on a trip out west consulting with some big movies and some casinos. And Dookie Cocktails has been out of town for quite a while as well, feeding the homeless in Bangladesh. But we got them both here tonight, and we're talking a little bit about Frank Sinatra. So if you'd like to call in, 749-1444 is the phone number. Whether you're drinking or not, whether you dig Frank or not, hey, look, we haven't gotten any Frank hate calls tonight. If you really can't stand Frank Sinatra and you're about ready to throw your radio against the wall, give us a call, 749-1444. But tell me something, Dookie Cocktails, how could anyone hate Frank Sinatra?
Oh, I think it's pretty easy. I think it's pretty easy to see the misogynistic aspects of it. If you're somebody who hates that kind of thing, which
but there's nothing wrong with being misogynistic.
Well,
you got to open your door for your girlfriend and everything, and you know that sort of thing. But you know, you also got to pat her on the ass sometimes.
Yeah, you got to pat her on the ass, and you got to rest a beer on her head, and you got to do all that stuff that makes you a man.
Right. Well, there's nothing wrong with being a man, and not just during guys' time, not just when the fellas are over playing poker and farting and cursing.
Yeah, farting's a big part of it, but I think...
But can't you be a guy when you're out with the ladies?
Well, sure you can, and Frank was when he was out, not so much on wife night, but on girlfriend night.
We're gonna go to the phones. We have...
People hate Sinatra for the same reason they hate Hemingway.
Why do people hate Hemingway?
Because they think he was too macho, that he was fighting bulls and doing all that, when he could have been, like, arranging flowers or...
749-1444. Hello, Andy Vampire.
Hello, how's it going, Chris and Rob?
It's going great, Vampire.
I was hoping Vampire would call.
Well, I do like Frank Sinatra. He was really best when Dean Martin was with the Rat Pack there.
Mm-hmm.
See, my dad grew up in the nightclubs. He was an owner of one, and... He really digged Frank Sinatra.
Did he have Frank Sinatra on the jukebox of his club?
Oh, yes.
That wouldn't be Jonathan from Jonathan's Downtown, would it?
No. I mean, these were like clubs like the Galaxy Club, the High Life, stuff like that.
Did you ever go to a club downtown? It recently went out of business because of the Aronoff Center and all the corporate chains that moved in downtown, kicking some of the local businesses out. But you might remember a joint called Jonathan's. And inside Jonathan's, there was a picture of Frank Sinatra on every wall. And every record in the jukebox was a Frank Sinatra record. And behind the bar, there was even a picture of Jonathan standing next to Frank Sinatra. But as little Scotty B will say, was that shot taken on purpose?
I don't know about Jonathan's, but I'm a Frank Sinatra nut. I love the guy. He's a very marvelous musician.
Does he make you feel misogynistic?
He makes me feel alive, happy. Very, very happy. When I'm depressed, I listen to his music and it just lifts me up. Reminds me of my deceased father when he owned his nightclubs and was a young man.
I'm glad you have fond memories of your pop.
Yes.
Did he let you drink underage in the bar when the door was closed?
No.
Well, good for him. He was a responsible pop then.
Oh, yes.
Did he let you play the pinball machine for free?
There was no pinball machine. But there was a slot machine.
It was a classy joint.
Mm.
Oh, yeah, very.
What kind of nightclub did your old man run?
Well, basically, you know, just a basic bar with the dancing girls and whatnot.
A big pole, big silver pole?
No, not that kind of stage, basically.
Can-can girls.
Basically, yeah. He really was dedicated to what he'd done. It was very, very open to the public, no. Exclusive kind of club thing. But I did get to stay after the club closed and help him out a little bit and spin a few records of my own, basically.
And they were probably Frank Sinatra records.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. All right, well, thanks for your call, Vampire.
Thank you.
It's good to have you on board. The Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, phone number 749-1444.
I think that's what Frank Sinatra provided to a lot of people who didn't actually have good old days. They pretended that his good old days were theirs. He made them project that image upon themselves.
So this dude starts a bar downtown and calls it Jonathan's because his name is Jonathan. He's got a picture of Frank Sinatra on every wall, and he's got one of himself with the chairman of the board behind the bar. But he's not really standing next to Frank. He's just sort of like... waving high in the background, walking sort of, wasn't he behind Frank?
Yes.
A few steps behind.
Yeah, now if you go down there, it's all pictures of Madonna and James Dean.
Yeah, who cares about that? The dude was probably walking past a photo op and was lucky enough to find a copy somewhere.
No, it's just the typical, you open up a bar and you want to have sort of an old school feeling, so you get pictures of Clark Gable and Marilyn Monroe and James Dean, you know, looking really cool. So that looks real cool, and you can get by on that one, but you don't have any Sinatra, and that hurts me.
The Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, the phone number is 749-1444.
Please don't
about me when I'm gone. Oh, honey, though our friendship ceases from now on. And listen, if you can't say anything real nice, 'tis better not to talk at all, it's my advice. We're parting, you go your way, I'll go mine, it's best that we do. Here's a kiss, I hope that this brings lots of luck to you. Makes no difference how I carry on. Remember, please don't talk about me when I'm gone. Friendship ceases from now on. And I dig this, if you can't say anything real nice, it's much better not to talk at all, is my advice. You go your way, I'll go mine, it's best that we do. Here's a kiss, I hope that this brings a lot of luck to you. Makes no difference how I carry on. I remember, please don't talk about me. Not a word about me. Please don't talk about me when I'm gone.
And now with a story about Frank Sinatra and Jackie Mason, here's little Scotty B.
Well, what I heard was, I heard this on the street.
This is all secondhand, of course.
Yeah, this was on the street. It was street information from the street. I heard that Jackie Mason was doing a show, right?
Yeah.
And he made a joke about Frank.
Yeah.
Frank didn't like.
What was the joke?
Well, I don't know.
We probably better not repeat it here, though.
No, oh, exactly. Okay. It doesn't matter what the joke was. The fact is, Frank didn't like it. Right? Okay.
It's the breakup that counts.
Exactly. Exactly. So, Jackie Mason's out after the show. He's in the back of the Riviera. He's getting in his car. And suddenly, a couple punks come up to him, and they say, "Hey, you got a couple bucks for us? We're homeless." He says, "No, I don't have a couple bucks for it." And next thing he knows, he's getting a knuckle sandwich, right?
Was there like, a little like, boom boom, a little pow pow, a little
there's
wham,
like
wham.
Eight knuckles in his face, right? He's getting his ass kicked.
He's
right?
Spitting chiclets.
Exactly. Dude, he gets his ass kicked. He wakes up in an alley outside the Stardust, which,
man,
in fact, is two blocks down from the Riviera.
Mm-hmm.
So he was carried. He wakes up, and he realizes, hey.
Hey, I better not be dissing. I better not be dissing Frank anymore, right?
That's a later show. Vince Foster was found by the first cannon, not the second cannon. Okay?
All right.
Okay. So, Jackie Mason, he wakes up.
So Jackie Mason wakes up by the Stardust. He was by the Riv.
He wakes up by the Stardust. Both eyes are blackened. Lips are bleeding. And he figures, hey, maybe I shouldn't mess with Frank anymore. maybe I shouldn't make any more jokes about Frank anymore.
And you wouldn't want to mess with the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show either. 749-1444 is the phone number. We're talking Frank Sinatra till 2.
One more fact.
Yeah.
The fact is, to this day, from that day, Jackie Mason has never made another joke about Frank Sinatra.
What happened to his career after that?
Well, he was on Duck Soup.
Okay. Okay, but Frank's whole mafia fascination, again, that speaks to his insecurity, just as he liked to surround himself with a bunch of bootlickers and yes men. But even though he was the top of the showbiz world, he'd act like a little kid around these big-time gangster bad guys. Why? Anybody know why? I mean, how did his fascination with were they a presence in his neighborhood growing up? Did he see a movie or read a book about him when he was young? We know that they started Las Vegas and they ran the clubs and stuff. Some entertainers didn't want anything to do with them. Frank would do benefits for them. He did one in Chicago when a mobster opened an illegal casino in Chicago. They got Frank and Sammy and Dean all to play. Dean got smart, didn't play. Sammy and Frank are there opening up this illegal casino in Chicago. What was Frank's fascination with the mafia?
Well, I think the fact was that when Frank first started, like very first started, he was in a band called the Hoboken Five. And what happened was that he knew a local mafia member in the neighborhood of Hoboken who got him on the radio show. There was a radio show that him and the Hoboken Five used to... They'd win the competition every week. They won it like 6 weeks in a row before they got a record contract. And
The mafia helped him out early on.
I think Frank was in with the mafia from the very start. And he never questioned them. He never got in their face. The only time any controversy ever happened was when he tried to get Dean into it, and Dean said, "No, I don't play for them," whatever, and Dean just wandered off drunk. I mean, Dean never did anything for the mafia, but I think from the very start, Frank had tight mafia ties.
And his fascination came from the fact that he wasn't like a made mafia guy, but these were the big shots in the neighborhood when he was growing up. And even though in the real world he was bigger than them, he still, his inner child, Frank's inner child, was saying, "Hey, I want to be one of the mafia cool guys."
Frank and Sammy, tell me about them.
Sammy's a very good yes man, you know. In fact, yes, he can.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he can.
I mean... Uh-huh. I think when it comes down to it, Sammy would have been he kissed Richard Nixon, didn't he? He gave him a big smooch.
Yeah, he campaigned for Nixon in 72.
But he was, why? Why is that? I ask you.
I don't know why.
I think you have to delve into the psyche of Sammy Davis Jr. because he put up with a lot of crap when it comes right down to it.
But isn't that breaking from Sinatra? Wasn't Sinatra and Lawford and those guys hardcore Dems? What happened? What's Sammy doing going elephant in 72?
Why did Rosie Grier go for Jesse Helms in 88?
That was just insane.
It's just crazy because maybe he's just seeking the spotlight once again. Maybe he wants to get right, "Yes, I can, too." Yes, I still can.
749-1444 is the phone number. What are we going to hear next? What record we got queued up?
Summer Wind.
Summer Wind. Tell us about Summer Wind.
It's Frank's best song. It's the theme song of a movie called Public Greenwich Village, which is a great movie. Go rent it. It's my movie critic.
But the song predates the movie, doesn't it?
Oh, definitely. Oh.
Okay.
By about 20 years.
Just wanted to clarify. This is Summer Wind, Frank Sinatra on WIIF, the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
The summer wind came blowing in from across the sea. It lingered there to touch your hair and walk with me.
All summer long, we sang a song, and then we strolled that golden sand. Two sweethearts and the summer wind. Like painted kites, those days and nights, they went flying by. The world was new beneath a blue umbrella sky. Then softer than a piper man, one day it called to you. Lost you to the summer wind. The autumn wind and the winter winds, they have come and gone. And still the days, those lonely days, they go on and on. And guess who saw summer wind, the summer wind, warm summer wind, the summer wind.
Oh yeah.
Reviews real quick.
Oh, you got movie reviews?
Movie reviews.
Were Frank in any of these?
No. Although I do have a video pick.
The video Frank picked? Start off with that. Good. We don't have the Godfather theme queued up.
Hello.
Oh, wow.
Testing.
Okay, continue to speak. All right, here's a Scott Barlow with the video.
Are
pick.
We on?
Yeah, you're on.
What?
Go.
You didn't give me the message.
Go for
it,
dude.
Man, you're a bitch. You're such a bitch.
All right, give us a video pick.
Okay, a video pick. Meet Danny Wilson.
Frank in that?
Frank is in that. That was one of his early movies. There's also another movie called Suddenly, where Frank plays a crazy killer who's trying to assassinate a quote-unquote John F. Kennedy type. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's also one called The First Deadly Sin with, what's her name?
Raquel Welch.
No, she
Ann
was in
Margaret.
Network, Chinatown.
Faye Dunaway.
Faye Dunaway, there you go. He's in with Faye Dunaway. Oh, man. It's a really awful movie, but Frank's great in it.
Faye Dunaway was hot when she was young, too.
Yeah, she was good before she got all that plastic surgery.
Hot! All right, so give us your movie reviews. Quickly, this is a Frank tribute.
Current movies?
Yeah.
Or just Frank movies?
Oh, yeah, Frank movies.
Oh, jeez. Manchurian Candidate, great movie. Rent it. Buy it. Get it. Get it. Get
That's
it now.
That's all you need to know?
Oh, it's the ultimate conspiracy movie. Get it. That's it. Oh, whoa, oh.
Went to see a movie show, found myself an empty row. Thought the show was just all right, same old Saturday night. Then I made the usual stop, coffee at the coffee shop. Friendly face nowhere in sight, same old Saturday night. I really thought the papers I bought would help me forget you for a while. Believe me, honey, the funnies weren't funny. They didn't even make me smile. How I wish you'd lift the phone. Fun is fun, but not alone.
till you let me hold you tight. Same old Saturday night. Papers I bought would help me forget you for a while. But believe me, honey, the funnies weren't funny. They didn't even make me smile. How I wish you'd lift that phone. Fun is fun, but not alone. Till you let me hold you tight. Same old Saturday night. Your face can help me erase that same old Saturday night.
Chris and Rob, late night talk show, talking about Frank Sinatra with Dookie Cocktails, Scott Barlow, Scotty B to you. On WAIF, this is Chris and Rob, a late night talk show. We're about to wrap things up. If you got a favorite Frank song or comments you'd like to get in before we get out of here, 749-1444. So, Frank and Mia Farrow, tell me about them.
I think Frank...
How about if we turn... Golly, gee, this cord is just not working today. Go ahead, try it again.
I'm sorry. Frank married her when she was very young. And I think he basically physically assaulted her a couple times. And she left him when she was about 22. And it ended there.
Didn't
essentially.
They recently have a made-for-TV movie biography of Frank, like a two-part deal last year or 2 years ago?
Well, that was like 3 or 4 years
was
ago.
That long ago?
I remember watching it. The guy who played him had so much makeup on his face, it was so bad. It looked like his face was melting. But they did have a great segment about him and Ava Gardner. Unbelievable.
Ava Gardner just tortured him throughout his whole...
Oh, Ava was the first.
Years.
Ava was the first, and he never got over.
Now, Peter Lawford, how did he fit into Frank's career? What was his relationship to Frank? He's like, we know Joey Bishop was a comedian, and he kind of hung out with the Rat Pack, but what in the world did Peter Lawford do? Whichever one even can handle that one. Dookie Cocktails.
Well, it wasn't any more of the political connection. He was kind of in with the Kennedys and stuff.
But he did. But he had no success or stardom on his own. I mean, he was an actor, right?
He must have either been fun to hang out with at the bars, or he was a good looking kind of guy. Maybe he just got the chicks in their direction so they could work their magic on him.
Now, I recently saw those A&E biography, Peter Graves biography, Peter Graves. And usually, they're very Pollyanna-esque. They always look on the bright side of everything. But according to this A&E biography, Peter Lawford was just a piece of crap. Had no redeeming quality. Was a horrible father. Was a horrible person. His kids hate him. You know, like how Carrie Fisher talks about Eddie Fisher? All of Peter Lawford's kids talk about Peter the same way. They all hate him. He's just a big piece of crap.
But in my opinion, I never understood why Peter Lawford was ever part of the Rat Pack. Never got it.
Well, was he, maybe he was quick-witted or was great when they were shooting insults at Eddie Fisher on stage or something?
I think basically Peter Lawford somehow fell in with him and he bird-dogged a lot of chicks. Got a lot of leg, you know what I'm saying? And Frank liked him, and Dean liked him, and it just happened that way.
They talked about being a man's man. What did it mean to be a man's man if you're part of the Rat Pack?
What do you think?
I'm asking you.
What do you mean?
Don't turn the tables. Just tell
it's
me what
all
you think
notches
you mean.
On the belt. It's all notches on the belt and slugging down shots and doing all that manly kind of stuff that they determined was manly.
It's time to come
Shut
to that
up.
Point in the show that we've...
Drag my ass in here. I don't know.
What you wanted to do?
It's time for that part of the show that we've been planning since we started this show tonight, and that is Last Thoughts on Frank. Dookie Cocktails?
Hey, why don't you pick up a copy of The Reprise Years, and whether you think Frank's the swinging cat that a lot of kids do, or whether you think he's a thing of the past... judge for yourself after listening to a bunch of really cool stuff, and then maybe take it a step further by renting Ocean's 11 and getting into the whole ordeal.
Last thoughts on Frank, little Scotty B.
I think Bono summed it up best. Actually, do we have a cut of that?
No.
At the Grammys.
What'd he say exactly?
Oh, he did every cliche about Frank. He's the chairman of the board. That.
He also called him like a bad MF or something, didn't he?
Yeah, I think he also said he was the balls and soul of American popular music.
Did he get beat up for that?
Well, you know. He's in with the boys, I hear. So.
Little Scotty B, last thoughts on Frank?
Well, the swing thing has become very popular in the last year or two, and you've got a lot of grungy kids rocking out at Big Dad Voodoo Daddy or whatever the hell it is. And
talking about
that
what
band,
a big voodoo head,
big bad voodoo daddy. That's the band that was in Swingers. Kids love that now, and then it's really huge. But
big voodoo head.
if you really want to listen to Frank, go buy Ring a Ding Ding and Come Dance with Me or Come Swing with Me.
The Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show will be back next week.
I'd just like to leave you with this thought: who would win in a fight between the IRA and the Mafia?
She gets hungry for dinner at 8. She loves the theater, doesn't come late. She'd never bother with anyone she'd hate. That's why the lady is a tramp. Doesn't like dice games with barons and earls. Won't go.